Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Gigantic win last night for the Predators against the Minnesota Wild. And to help us talk more about it, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, to go inside the locker room. Brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. Preds defenseman Matthias Ekholm on the line with us. Matthias, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're awesome. Appreciate good. You taking time to be with us. So quite the night last night for you guys, Matthias. You went 6-2 against Minnesota. Physical game last night, especially in the first period. What did you make of that game, and what did you make of the effort from you guys to come out of there with a 6-2 win?
Yeah, a huge win for us, obviously. I don't know. I'm not sure my body can take 82 games like that, but it was really physical. I mean, it was kind of like an old-school hockey game there with a lot of fights, and not just the fights. I thought the physical game was a huge part of us winning the game in the end, and they stood up too, and it was two really heavy teams going at it, and obviously our power play came up huge, and on the flip side of that, our penalty kill was really good. Obviously, we gave up one on the 5-on-3, but other than that, we did a good job on that. So it was a really weird game because it was so much special teams. But in the end, I thought we were the better team, and we really showed up. So that was good on us.
So Matthias, did they come out? Did you feel like they wanted to come out and make a little bit of a statement in terms of the physicality early in the game?
Yeah. I thought both teams wanted that, to be honest with you. I don't think we were happy with our Buffalo game either. And just the week we had before playing teams that are out of the playoffs, it's just so different from the game we had yesterday. And I'm sure we played them, at least what I know, twice in their building, and we beat them both pretty comfortably. So I'm sure they wanted to come out and set the tone and show up physically, and so did we, and I thought both teams stood in there, but good on us to get the power play going early.
Well, Matthias, you bring up the power play, and you know this. You know, we've been asking you guys about the power play for like 6 years at this point, and it's been so consistently good this year for you guys. And last night's game, I think, a perfect example of that. Just how much of a weapon is that when you have a power play that's not only good, but it's been consistently good, like it has been for you guys all year. How big of a weapon has that been for you guys this year, do you think?
I mean, aside from probably our goaltender, I would say it's the biggest key to where we're at right now. It's made all our top guys produce points and feel good about themselves and get their games in order, because it's, as you're saying, you know, when the power play is struggling, it's hard for your top guys to score. It's hard for your top guys to feel good about themselves and find that swagger. And this year, it's been there for us the whole year, and it's been winning games for us. I think the major difference in the game last night was the power play or the special teams. So it's huge, because obviously down the stretch, you know, there's going to be games where you have to win 1-0. It's not going to be 6-2 every game, but 1-0 or 2-1. And usually when you do that, it's going to be a power play goal that comes down to the end to decide it. So obviously, it's a good thing for us, knowing that we're comfortable on it. We know that we have had a good power play, I mean, for all of the season pretty much, and it's something that we can rely on. So it's a really good feeling, and it's obviously great to have in our toolbox.
Matthias, you guys get Dante Fabbro back last night. There's been a lot of injuries and shuffling and things like that with the decor. How important was it to get him back, and how challenging has it been here I guess especially the last few weeks with the shuffling, different people in and out, and maybe a little bit more at times mistakes in the D zone than you guys would like in some of these games.
Yeah, it's both Fabs and Boro has huge impact on our team, and both physically and just the way they move the puck. So it's huge to get those guys back there. And as we know too, I feel like our team goes the best when we have lefty righty on the top four, and it's been really nice to have these young guys come up as Fabs and Carzy, and it's when you get to play some games and you build the chemistry over time, it obviously is easier to play, but it's not an excuse. I mean, every team goes through injuries and everyone has to battle through that. And that's on us to limit mistakes and what have you in the D zone. And I thought yesterday we did a better job of it, and it's nice to see those guys come back and have a healthy lineup.
Preds defenseman Matthias Ekholm on the line with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Matthias, just curious about your game personally. You've been so consistent now in this league for a long time. Just how have you been able to maintain this level of play throughout so many years with this group?
Yeah, I don't know. Just trying to do what I've done in the past and trying to stay. I mean, the biggest thing for me, I think, is staying healthy and playing every game. And other than that, I think I know pretty well where my game is and what I'm supposed to do to the team to contribute. It's not maybe the Roman Yossi scoring 100 points every season. I'm more of the D side of things and trying to shut down their big line and play a big role in the penalty kill and all that. So I think my game is I know what to do out there after a bunch of years in the league, but at the same time trying to contribute offensively, and I think I've done a little bit more of that as of late, so that's obviously a good feeling. But I think it's the D side of things and shutting down their top lines. I don't know. I'm just trying to take care of my body as much as I can and stay in the lineup, because I mean, it's hard to contribute when you're not in the lineup. So it's been working pretty well for me, I think. And this time of year is probably the time of year that myself and my game loves the most. So I'm just trying to get in there and contribute both offensively and defensively.
So, Matthias, you mentioned the difference in, you know, game. You're from Buffalo or various teams that right now are out of it. They're playing young guys. They've got kind of a looseness about them. And then a game like last night where there's a lot at stake and you got two playoff teams. How different is that? And, of course, with Ottawa coming up next, another game where we would all sit there and say, well, you got to get those 2 points. What's the challenge? What's the how do you get to the point where you guys can sort of maintain how you played in this game in a game like that?
Yeah, it's on us for sure. I think we need to focus on our game, because it's kind of like funny with our team. It's kind of like we set ourselves at the level that we just need to be. And sometimes in these games where you have teams that are out of the playoffs, and they're still fighting for jobs. They're still want to finish on a good note coming into the end of the season, because they know they're not going to the playoffs, so this is kind of their last chance to make an impression for the young guys and for the old guys. Obviously, they want to win games and feel a little bit good about themselves at least. So I think it's more for us to focus on what we need to do, because, I mean, they're fighting. They're hard games in a different way. I mean, last night it was hard. It was physical, hard that way, but these other teams, they present a more of a mental challenge where you really need to be on your game, because they have no pressure. They have nothing really to worry about. They have everything to win. If they win, it's like great for them. And if they lose, it's kind of like whatever. So it's hard. It's a different challenge. It's been, I mean, all of last week we had three of those teams. So it's I think it's on us. I know we came off of an emotional and physical win yesterday, but it's going to be like a reset day to day, and then come back tomorrow and trying to set the tone, because that's what I feel a lot with these teams, that if you can jump them early and you can get into a good start, usually get a couple goals, whatever, they tend to fold. So it's you don't want to give them a goal or two to start, because then they're going to be in there for the whole game.
Matthias, you brought up your captain, Roman Yossi, and obviously you've been around Roman for a long time. He's at 84 points. He's 1 point away from the single-season franchise record for the Predators for points in a season. I mean, a lot of the categories he's in right now, names like Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr are on that list. I'm just curious, as somebody who's been around him for as long as you have and plays the same position that he does, how do you kind of put into words what he's doing, what he's accomplishing this year, and how difficult that is to do in today's NHL.
Yeah, I think, didn't he break a record yesterday? I think in the salary cap era.
Yeah.
Most scoring defenseman. Like, it seems like it's a new record every day, and some nights it's just, he's taken this team on his back and just run with it. And I think the crazy part of it is how consistent it's been. At least, I mean, now it's been a month and a half where it seems like he has 3 points every night, and it's just really impressive. And I've been through this guy a lot and played with him for a long time, and gone from just kids to he's a captain, and the way he conducts himself, and just he's a great dude, and really think that, I mean, he deserves everything. He works hard for it, and just the consistency, I think, is huge. And then the other part of it that I really appreciate is that I know when he's out there, he's not a liability defensively. He is as good as anyone to defend in this league too, and that's what's impressive. You look at his plus minus and the situations that, I mean, he plays 5-on-6, and he plays the key moments where you have to defend as well. So I think that's the most impressive, when you have that many points, but you still can hold your own in the D zone physically, and you can still defend. It's pretty darn impressive.
Matthias, I got two questions for you about your goaltender. One, how do you think he's been holding up this year with, you know, by far the most work he's had, and of course heading into right in the middle of this really intense stretch that you're in? And two, how do you say his last name?
I just call him Juice, so it's easy. I never really say anything. Finnish is a really funny language. It's so far apart from, even though we're neighbors with Finland, if it would be Norwegian or it would be Danish or something else that's close, it'd be easier for me to pronounce it, but Finnish is like on their own page. So I literally have no clue. I say Saros, but it could be whatever. And he's been unbelievable for us. As I said earlier, power play has probably been one of the bigger keys, but I think still Juice is our MVP this year. He's been amazing. You saw last night too, and now we're getting into, like, I mean, as you said, he hasn't had close to this workload before, and we're getting into game 70 here soon, and he's still standing in there. He played an unbelievable game last night again, and just, I don't know how many games he's actually gave us a chance in, and how many games he's actually just won for us straight up, because he's that good. So again, I've been so fortunate in my career to have goaltenders like Peck stand in there for almost 10 years of my career, and now I get to have Juice. So it's been a real pleasure playing with him. He's such a great dude as well, and works his bag off, and he deserves all the credit he can get. He's an unbelievable goaltender, and the future is bright for him.
Matthias Ekholm, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Matthias, great game last night. Good luck coming up tomorrow against Ottawa, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You as well. Matthias Ekholm, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Inside the Locker Room, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Predators, season tickets for the Preds 2022-23 season are on sale now. You can have full, half, or quarter season plans that are available to you. Join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations, priority access to the 2022 Stanley Cup playoff tickets. And as a season ticket citizen, your tickets for round one of the playoffs will be up to 20% lower than your regular season price. Round two will be the same as your regular season price. So that's something you're going to want to take advantage of. Season ticket citizens receive season-long benefits, including concession discounts, Nashville locker room discounts, pre-sales to shows at Bridgestone Arena, savings on Preds Foundation events, and much more. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets.
I just call him Juice, so it's easy. I don't really say anything. Finnish is a really funny language. It's so far apart from, even though we're neighbors with Finland, If it would be Norwegian or it would be Danish or something else that's close, it'd be easier for me to pronounce it, but Finnish is like on their own page. So I literally have no clue. I say Saros, but it could be whatever.
That's Mattias Ekholm in the last segment. Joe trying to get to the bottom, the hard-hitting questions today. What is the proper pronunciation of UC Saros' name? I'm even saying his name as I'm asking what the proper pronunciation is. I'm just going with Saros.
I've been going with UC Saros since
he stepped
foot
in the
league. Him play in the early 2016-17 season. I haven't changed, but there's still a divide in this city. So Justin Bradford, my pronunciation Sherpa, has texted me back. So this is what he says. It's Sar. He says it's Sar. But then the Rose is with a, this is, I'm quoting Justin, with a single tongue trill on the R.
Sure.
So the R sounds almost like a D. So it's UC Saros.
Sure.
Okay. So add that to the list.
So every time you say his name,
that's what you
got
to do.
UC Saros. I'm bad at the tongue trill. I'm not good at it.
I'm not great at it either. But if that's what we need to do, I guess that's what we need to do.
Yes. And remember, and to Matthias's point about Finnish, I mean, Mikael Granlund.
Yeah.
But then I have noticed that Hal has gone a little bit more Granlund.
Yeah.
A little more Mikael Granlund. And of course, Justin will tell you it's
Granlund.
Granlund. Which I love that. Mikael Granlund. So it's just, it is. It's,
we're getting to the bottom of
taking
it.
A, yeah. But I would like
the only show in town takes a deep dive.
Yeah. We're the only show in town that's going to take this issue on head on, okay? Sure. We're not trying to avoid this issue. We're not trying to nibble around the edges or, you know, tell you what you want to hear or get people to like us. We are going to get to the bottom of this pronunciation.
That's right. Sean texting in says, Mattias Ekholm seems like a solid dude. He's pretty great. He's awesome.
Yeah. He'd be good weekly.
Yeah.
He's good. He's always good.
No question about it. Big win last night for the Preds, 6-2 against Minnesota. You heard Ekholm talk about it a little bit in the last segment, but the power played the difference last night. Ryan Johansson, his first career hat trick in the NHL last night, gets the empty netter to seal it up. The first two from Johansson on the power play, I mean, you talk about getting that big body right in front of the net and being difficult to move. Nice play by Roman Josi really to set up the first one, and basically just a redirection tap in for Johansson there. And then the second one, that's a heck of a tip from the high slot there. I mean, great coordination. It goes right under the bar, changes direction on Fleury. That's a pretty high skill play there. Nice redirection. Big game last night for number 92.
Yeah, I mean, it's just milestones galore. His first 20-goal season with the Preds. So you got Matt Duchene's highest scoring season ever. Roman Josi, he's on pace still. He's on pace for 100. So it's still going to be very difficult. I mean, you got 13 games and what is he? Is he 85?
He's at 84 right now.
Yeah, 13 games and 16 points, but he can do that. Yeah. He can do that, which, again, I mean, whatever. He's already salary cap record, as Mattias Ekholm mentioned. Club record, all these things are going to be there, but I feel like if he can get to triple digits in points, that's wow for a defenseman.
Oh, yeah, and 3 points from him last night, including the first goal where he just basically walks down and picks a corner. I mean, that's a heck of a shot from Josi last night. He made a couple more plays in the game where he probably should have had a couple more assists. Like, he went two games without having a point, and people are looking around like, huh? What's going on with Josi? Two games in a row, no points, and then three back on the board last night.
Yep. And meanwhile, you know, there's also, I mean, you got a race here. You've got the, I mean, you get the goal, both with the record now. They both have the record.
Yep.
But Forsberg, Duchene, 38 for Forsberg, 36 for Duchene with 13 to go.
Yep.
Now, keep in mind, Forsberg did that in 9 fewer games because he was hurt earlier in the year. But it's a race.
Well, can they both get to 40? I would assume yes at this point. Like, Duchene needs 4 in the last 13, and Forsberg needs 2, so I would feel confident that they're both going to get there. But I don't know, Duchene, it's not inconceivable that he could have like 3 goals in the next 10 games or something like that. I don't know.
Possible.
It's probably not good news for the Preds if that happens.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, but it's possible. I mean, you know, those two guys, we'll take Duchene and Johansson, you know, going into the year, all the talk. and you're talking about 72 points for Duchesne, 36 and 36, Johansson with 54. He's going to end up with 60, which is exactly, to me, like, that's, with everything he does, that's great.
Yep.
That's what you're paying for.
He's having a heck of a year. He is. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bicycle Boy, who wants to weigh in on the Predators. Bicycle Boy, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, fellas. Here's my challenge question for you. 49 shots on goal last night on UC Saros. And here's the question. If a shot hits the post or the crossbar, that's a shot on goal, right? And if it's a shot on goal, does that count towards the number of saves that UC Saros makes?
It does not. It does not even count as a shot on goal when it hits the post, which is weird.
Really?
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
If you go and look.
But that's why, probably, right?
Every time they hit the post, it does not count as a shot. As a matter of fact, like, you can get real technical here, but if it's pretty clear that the shot's going wide on the shot, and the, you know, Saros for some reason just dives
waves
outside of the crease, that doesn't count as a shot on goal either.
And that shouldn't.
Yeah.
But see, you just brought up a point. It is weird, but again, but that's the thing. If it did count as a shot, then it would be inaccurately counted as a save, and it shouldn't be counted as a save because it probably should have gone in because it beat the goaltender.
Yeah. Well, I think the thinking behind it is if it hits the post and it doesn't go in, then it's not a shot on goal because it didn't go in the goal. That's the thinking behind it. It is weird, though. Like, you can
show that.
Greenway had one last night, a redirection from the slot that went right off the side of the post, and it didn't go in. That didn't count as a shot on goal either.
Right. So even though it's literally a shot on the goal,
and they
call it the goal post, it's not actually the goal.
That is correct. Yeah. That is the way they deem it.
It's on the edges.
All right.
It's on the boundary.
All right. Thanks for the info, fellas.
Yep. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for pronouncing Saros' name in multiple ways.
Yeah.
In one
Who knows? Saros, Saros, Soros.
Yeah, Soros. There's a new one.
Or Juice.
Yeah.
Just go that way.
I call him. Yeah, you know, I just call him Juice. That's what I do.
It is interesting.
And he messed with the last name.
Finishes interesting.
Nate on the text line says, do we think that Joey wasn't the first star because the last goal was an empty net goal? Lots of people upset about the three-star voting today.
Well, like Robbie explained earlier, you know, the voting is they hand you – when do they hand you those little sheets?
You need to have them in. I've voted on this a few times. You need to have them in generally by about 5 minutes left in third.
Yeah.
In order to get them down there in time and – there's a lot they got to do now.
But I would say, yes, that's where an executive decision comes in.
When a guy scores a hat trick with 6 seconds left, maybe you switch it.
I mean, there's plenty of hat tricks in the history of the league that the third one was an empty netter.
Sure.
So it's a hat trick.
But, I mean, Saros did make 47 saves.
Yeah.
I think Johansson was asked about this on ESPN Plus. He was like, well, yeah, that guy's pretty good. So who knows?
He wasn't upset?
No, I don't think so. That Duchesne goal last night, by the way. I know we talked about this earlier. I mean, that was sick.
Absurd.
I mean, how many times have you seen a play like that result in a goal? It's like you're in between shifts. So Forsberg is hopping off. He makes a great play to just hold on to the puck and then sends it to Duchesne. Duchesne's by himself. He's going 1-on-4. And it's just a crossbody, like almost fadeaway type shot and bar down. Got a lot of juice on that one, a lot of mustard on that shot. And I think it took Fleury by surprise on that one.
It did.
That's a heck of a shot.
It was sick.
It was sick.
As the kids say. That's one of those plays. Like, if Duchesne tried that last year, he would have, like, broken his stick and fallen over backward. It wouldn't even have reached the net, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the confidence he has and just the certainty that he's going to score in games now. I mean, it's just incredible. It's the same guy that we watched last year.
By the way, I've got some inside info. John Glennon, the culprit last night in the three stars voting. John Glennon.
Really?
The one voting last night.
He
friend of the show.
He was the one voter?
Yeah, we're doing it now where it's one person.
They used to pass out sheets to whoever was on the road.
Saving some paper, man.
Okay, so John Glennon.
John Glennon.
Interesting.
The culprit.
Well, John, all you had to do was text someone as soon as he got his hat trick and change your vote.
He's messing with his tape recorder from 1988.
Yeah, I was going to say, John was looking for a landline to call someone. Hello? Someone down there? Yeah, I'll leave a message on the answer machine. Boomer. Boomer.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the text line on the Predators, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Some moves made by John Hines last night that I found to be very interesting. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most insta-worthy moments. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Studio. Here taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, speaking of the Preds, when the Preds have a weekday game this season, your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores in the goal of the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. The next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Michelle selecting Ryan Johansson yesterday. Hat trick for Johansson. Michelle on the board.
For three and, points.
Yeah, of course. And Joe Rexrode on the board as well from Duchesne's crossbody shot that he had. Nothing from Forsberg last night, just three assists.
Doesn't
shoot
count.
Shoot the puck, dude.
Doesn't count, sorry. Here? So, 17-17?
17-17 with you and the listeners. 15 and then 12. Wow. Michelle's closing in.
It's very good. Very good competition.
Matthew from Jolton on the text line says, why would you break up the money line and put Tomasino with Joey and Phil? It kind of worked, but why mess whenever it has worked for a while? Some interesting lineup changes last night for the Predators. Number one, Ellie Tolvanen not in the lineup last night. And I haven't been told that there's any injury there. Just kind of seems like a healthy scratch for Ellie Tolvanen. Matt Luff comes in his place on the fourth line. Duchesne down to the second line with Granlund and Cunnan. And Tomasino back up top with Johansson and Forsberg. What did you make of the forward group last night? And obviously, you score six goals, you feel good about it. Now, a lot of those came on the power play as well. But overall, what did you make of John Hines' decision to change things up with the forward group?
I was a little bit surprised, but I get it because you can say it's been working, but we were just talking. I mean, they haven't been as dangerous 5-on-5. And obviously, the Tolvanen thing has just – it's been most of the season waiting for that to get going. Credit to him for doing the things necessary to stay in the lineup, but I kind of like it. We've also talked about Tomasino getting a shot up there, and I'd say he took advantage of that. I don't know if this has staying power at all, but I'd say one night was a pretty good glimpse of it. And it's just the whole question of Duchesne and Forsberg have been so good together. They play off each other so well. On one hand, like, why do you want to – whoever's centering them, keep them together. I get that. But then again, if you want balance through your lineup and you trust in both of them to continue to play extremely well apart from each other, I get that too.
Well, we've talked about it too. I mean, in the playoffs, you can't just have one line going. And I think they've gotten to the point with the herd line or the beast line or whatever you want to put it.
Don't say or the beast line.
Hey, I'm just saying. There's some people that call it that way.
Kara Hammer. Don't take this.
With the Sissons line, as I call it.
Oh, there you go. Because you don't
need
lines.
Do that stuff. Trennan, Sissons, and Janot. I mean, I think it's safe to say that they like what they bring to the table so much that there's just not really any desire there if you're the Predators to break it up. I know we've talked about, you know, maybe moving Janot up, and they've tried that a couple times this year, and, you know, it's worked with varying degrees of success, but pretty much every time it has made the Sissons line way less effective when you move Janot around. So I don't think there's much flexibility or desire there from John Hines to move that around. So if you're not going to move him up, you got to shake things up with the other two because, I mean, they've tried every different combination in the world with Granlund and Cunnan and Tolvanen, and Tomasino's moved up there, and you know, they moved to, you know, Cousins up there at one point. They've done a bunch of different things, and nothing's really worked. I get it. I don't really love splitting up Forsberg and Duchesne with the chemistry that they have, but
taking a look and seeing what that might look like, and maybe Duchesne can get something going on that second line. I don't hate taking a look at it, and I think you know if you're John Hines that if push comes to shove, you can put those two back together, and they're still going to be together on the power play, obviously. So
right, and I mean, look, I think before this team, 21-22 team is done playing, we're probably going to see various combinations, including Johansson centering those two again at some point. But I think it's worth a look, and it was a good look, and I'm with you. The herd line is, they're untouchable to me. Like, they just work together, and they're consistent in all the different things they do. So it's the other two lines that you're tinkering with. So we'll see. We'll see if they can, you know, carry that over. But I think overall with Tomasino too, like it's a pretty promising season.
He's starting to come into it here. He's starting to play really well for this group.
And sometimes you worry about players going through the grind of an NHL season and the uptick in physicality night after night, and by this time of the year, maybe being worn down a little bit, but it didn't look that way last night. And I think he's looking more and more dangerous.
I agree. Paul texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Are you guys happy with Cunning? I feel like more often than not, I just don't notice him at all. Got another texture that says, I would have set Cunning instead of Tolvanen in that game. Cunning's got to pick it up. He had three minor penalties last night. And we've talked about the offensive drought that he's brought to the table. Again, I've been very consistent on this. Luke Cunning is not a top six forward. I've said that from the moment he got here. You can try to keep making him a top six forward. That's fine. Like, to me, he's not. He's not a top six forward. He's probably a third line guy, and I get it. Your third line is spoken for right now, so that puts him in a difficult spot, because I don't think he's a fourth line guy either. So they're in a really difficult position with him. What's going to be interesting, and this is kind of even this season aside, you know, barring a hot streak for him coming down the stretch, he's a restricted free agent at the end of this year. He's coming off a 2-year deal he just signed with the Predators. Like, I think they're probably going to try to bring him back. But the way that he's played this year has been very replaceable in my mind. He has been a replacement-level player this year in my mind.
Ooh, that term, replacement-level player. No, but I agree. It's been underwhelming. And I thought maybe they were getting, you know, like a 20-goal guy, Craig Smith kind of replacement for the lineup, but it just hasn't been that this year. I thought last year at times you could see it, seen it less this year. Why that is, I don't know, but I would agree. It's kind of a conundrum there, because if he's not up there, then he really doesn't need to be in the lineup.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see how they handle that moving forward, because, I mean, it's been way too inconsistent offensively this year. We've talked about Tolvanen. He's not been much better offensively this year, but that's something with Cunning, with his contract coming up, that they're going to have to figure out. Like, he made his cap hits $2.3 million this year. I mean, he's probably going to be looking for a raise, because he did play well down the stretch last year. But I don't know if he's worth much more than $2.3 million that he's making right now if you're the Predators.
Well, a lot of this story is going to be told in the weeks to come, because if you produce in the playoffs, sure, then you can overcome a lower production year than everyone expected.
Fabro back in there last night. Obviously, Borowiecki back in as well. So the D pairs last night, you put Fabro back with Josi, Carrier back with Ekholm, and then you had Borowiecki and Lauzon out there. There was an interesting look that kind of is we were talking about the other day, back on the right seats on the bus, as Barry Trotz would like to say. It was pretty clear to me, and I know they gave up a ton of shots last night, but I thought Fabro came back in and played pretty well. And I think you can see when they've got their full complement of defensemen available to them, and we'll see what this means for Matt Benning as they move forward, it's pretty different out there when they've got the guys in the right spot. Fabro was good last night.
Yeah, it was. You could see the difference with him. And with Borowiecki, it's like, hey, man, just try to keep yourself, you know, try to keep yourself together to stay on the ice. But that's, I mean, he's more than willing to drop the gloves. My question is, when Benning is available, do you go back to is it the Killer Bees? Which, by the way, would be a good name.
I like
name.
That.
A good name for your.
We're just going to name everything on the team.
Why don't D Perrins get named as much?
I
think we should name them too. But is it Benning Borowiecki? Is Jeremy Lauzon the odd man out?
I don't know. I thought he looked okay last night in that role. So, I mean, when you're not playing 25 minutes a night, if you're Jeremy Lozon in top 4 minutes, I think you could slot in a little differently with the way that you look. I'm interested, though. I mean, you gave up a second-round pick to get that guy. I think he's been okay since you brought him in. I mean, last night was really the first night that he was where he should be in the lineup. I think Benning and Borowiecki, for the most part this year, been pretty good when they've been available. So I'm interested to see how they handle that. I mean, it's good to have some depth. I mean, at this point, Ben Harper probably not getting back in there unless there's a bunch of injuries. So you can think about that what you will if you're a Preds fan.
Is there a major outcry in the city of Nashville? is this a problem?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think that there is. Matthew from Jolton texting back in says, if the herd line can't be messed with, then why would you mess with the money line?
Well,
is that what we're calling them now, by the way? The
money line? I don't know. I've heard that, but I didn't realize that that was accepted. But we know who you're talking about, and I think you already explained that, didn't you?
Well, they weren't playing. I mean, they were still getting production, and a lot of it was coming on the power play, and they looked okay. They were not playing as well the last couple of weeks as they had been before that.
Well, by the way, they'd already broken up the money line. It'd already been broken up.
Well, not Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne. I think that's who he's referring to. Are you thinking of Granlund, Forsberg, Duchesne?
Right. They switched to Granlund.
Yeah, they switched in mid-game the other day.
Right. So you've already broken up because the money line requires Johansson to be.
It does. He makes a lot of money.
Yes. That's why it's called the money line, right? I assume.
I think so.
Somebody said the nine lives line.
Yeah. And the nine line. The nine lives line.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're going to have to rename. We're going to have to name this other one now that he's gone to a new line.
That'd be great.
Shout out to DJ Burnside. He is, first of all, he's already put out a picture of Justin Bradford with like a pronunciation guide.
Yes.
Like with a backpack going up a mountain as the pronunciation Sherpa. Also, UC Siminovich.
Just nailed it today.
Yes. Like quick work, man.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Rick from Knoxville texting in says, is it odd to you that we're having career years from our stars and are close to missing the playoffs? Which lines are dragging us down? I've thought about this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
– it's a fair point.
You look at – so Duchesne's had a career year. Forsberg's having a career year. Obviously, Yossi's having a career year. Saros' save percentage is over .920. Tanner Janot's got 23 goals as a rookie, and they're still on the line, basically. I think they're going to make it, but they're on the line.
So let's say Cunnan was a 20-goal guy. Let's say Tolvanen was I thought he'd be a 25-goal guy this year.
I mean, that's
probably
a few
more wins,
yeah.
Right? You probably have home ice in the first round.
Yeah.
Which is a good outcome. I mean, no one thought – if you went in this season and you said all these things are going to happen, I would say, okay, they're easily in the playoffs, but I still wouldn't have picked them to be better than Colorado.
Right.
So – I think that's probably the difference. It's the secondary scoring. But I hear what you're saying. It's like, man, all these amazing seasons for your top players have been talking so long about top players having to produce. Now they do, and you're still fringe.
Yeah. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Big news yesterday in the world of sports as well. Regarding a certain player at Augusta down there at the Masters. We'll get into that next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You've said countless times throughout your career that you don't enter a golf tournament unless you think that you can win it. Mm-hmm. So the question is simple. Do you think you can win the Masters this week?
I do.
And what have you seen in your preparation that leads you to believe that?
Well, I can hit it just fine. And I don't have any qualms about what I can do physically from a golf standpoint. It's now walking is the hard part. You know, this is normally not a easy walk to begin with. Now, given the conditions that, you know, my leg is in, it gets a little bit more difficult. And, you know, that's, you know, 72 holes is a long road. And it's going to be a tough challenge and a challenge that I'm up for.
That was Tiger Woods yesterday announcing that it looks like he's going to be playing in the Masters. He said, as it stands today, yesterday, he wants to play in the Masters. Now, the Masters starts tomorrow. So I would assume he's probably made up his mind at this point, I would hope. But Tiger Woods sounds like he's going to be in there. Speaking of golf, join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with other athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. So, honestly, Joe, I wondered if we would ever see Tiger Woods play in another tournament again, much less another major tournament. He had his press conference just a few months ago talking about, the road back to recovering from the car crash and the extensive amount of surgeries that he had to go through and how basically he had to relearn to walk again, like all these different things that Tiger Woods had to go through. And now here we are. It looks like he's going to compete for the Masters starting tomorrow. And, they asked him the question there in the clip. You never played in a tournament before where you didn't think you had a chance to win. Sounds like Tiger thinks he can win. He can hit all the shots that are available to him. What do you think of Tiger Woods maybe giving it a go this weekend in the Masters?
I think if you're excited about it, watch Thursday and Friday. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. Yep. And I hate to be Debbie Downer on this, but, man, I mean, no surprise that he's talking about walking the course and the difficulty of that, but how are you possibly going to compete at a high enough level to even make the cut if that's a concern? I don't get it.
Well,
good for him. I'm excited. I hope he does great.
Well, it was incredible yesterday. He was out there for a practice round, and there were so many people out there just watching Tiger Woods for a practice round. I mean, he looks fine hitting the golf ball. I mean, as he said, though, that's not really the problem. It's walking, walking for 72 holes there, right. The cumulative effect that could take.
Yeah, and then how does that keep affecting your game?
It
how could it not? So, I mean, good for him. It's exciting. It's still incredible. The, golf interest, the casual fan golf interest, Tiger versus no Tiger, it's just it's night massive. And day. At some point, we're going to move on, I mean, I'm trying to think of one athlete in a professional sport who has had that much impact on the casual fan interest in that sport. Like Michael Jordan was like this with the Bulls. People would watch Bulls games just because he was, to see Michael Jordan. But there are very few.
It's tough from the NFL because people watch football anyway. So like Brady, he's a great athlete. He might be the greatest team sport player we've ever seen. Maybe. Depends on who you ask.
It
could be Dan Fouts. But people watch Close. Football anyway. It's difficult to just nail down, it's Brady. People are watching Brady.
Yeah. No, actually, Dan Wetzel wrote this column a couple years ago, and I think he made a good point. He's like, we're going to really find out now that we're moving into the, you move on from, he mentioned Brady, but also Peyton Manning and some of these huge star quarterbacks. But you know what? There's more stars coming in. And now there's Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert, So I think football is just in a totally different category.
Well, I can tell you this.
Recession proof.
I was looking forward to, I'm a big Sunday. I'll watch, especially the Masters. The Masters is my favorite golf tournament. So if it's, as long as somebody doesn't have a five-stroke lead on Sunday, I'll watch a good bit of it on Sunday. If Tiger can find a way to hang around and make the cut, I'll probably watch a little bit more. I'll be watching tomorrow if he's out there. I'll watch Tiger play. So, it makes a difference to me. I've been big on Dustin Johnson. I think he's going to win this week. But, if Tiger's in there, and if he somehow finds a way, which I don't think it's impossible. I have my serious doubts. But if he finds a way to be in contention for this thing, Sunday's going to be pretty awesome.
It's insane if that happens. I really don't think it's likely, but that'd be incredible. And line up all of his achievements. He's not going to get the Nicklaus record, but line up all of his achievements. And if he even makes the cut as in any kind of contention this weekend, it's up there to me, given where he is, what he's gone through. And again, he's exaggerating on walking the course. It's difficult. It's going to be difficult for him.
Well, I think back to 2019. He wins the Masters that year, and that was the first time he'd won a major since 2008, and that was incredible. Just to watch that day and think about all that's transpired with him since then. We were talking about this earlier. like 30 for 30 is not going to be good enough. Like the career arc of Tiger Woods, when you really think about it, from being just so dominant back in the late 90s, early 2000s, all the way to 08, and then everything that happened in 08 with his marriage and all that other stuff, to then winning a major again 11 years later, like it's we've never seen anything like the story arc quite like Tiger Woods. It's pretty crazy.
And definitely could qualify as an HBO miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of elements that would work there.
I probably will qualify.
Yeah. Real quick on Corey Curtis says, I'm all for the Cashville line because I'm cheesy. I had not heard that. The Cashville line.
Yeah.
Have you heard that one before?
No. I like that.
And it's very cheesy. But it works. It's got multiple elements to it.
I don't know how you all keep getting me back into naming line conversations here on the program.
I don't understand why we don't spend more of the show on this. I mean, I feel like we should get at least a couple segments a day naming lines. And D-pairs. Killer Bees.
Yeah.
The Wu-Tang Clan.
Seth on the text line says, it's laughable to compare Tom Brady to Dan Fouts. Fouts is clearly the superior athlete.
Exactly. I've been trying to say this. Thank you for putting it into words. I couldn't quite come up with it myself. Thank you for recognizing reality. Dan Fouts was wearing a gold jacket when Tom Brady was bringing fruit roll-ups to junior high.
Shout out to fruit roll-ups. Those are good stuff back in the day.
Yeah. Fruit roll-ups, Beavis and Butthead.
Are those still a thing? Like, do fruit roll-ups still exist?
Yes, they are. I saw them in the grocery store the other day, really? And it took all of my willpower not to buy them.
Oh, you should have bought them.
I mean, I could reimburse
you. I'm on the gummy bear train right now.
Okay.
Well, in the Vandy UT press box, Mike Wilson every day would take a huge stack of the fruit snacks. Everybody, like my family knows, I have a problem. I have an addiction. It's bad. If you give me a huge thing of fruit snacks, I'll eat the whole bag. And I ate like 10 straight bags, and I eat them all in one. I crush them all up in my mouth in one thing.
There you go.
A good way to end the show on there.
That's going to do it for us here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back, we think, 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.